Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And we've been studying Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 together, and how Paul's burden and desire for these fellow believers is to stand firm in their faith, to practically live out what they are preaching. And unfortunately, in verse 2, we realize that even in the church, there is friction, and that there were two ladies who were not living out their faith. They were living a life of disunity and a lack of love for one another. And it was just a very unstable situation. And we know what that looks like because our world is constantly changing. And that leads to fear and anxiety. And that leads to differences of opinion and differences of ideas. And how do we deal with that? And Paul is going to usher us in verses 4 through 7 with three commands. In an unstable world, how are we to live spiritual stability? How can we live lives that are stable? And he brings us into that in verse 4. And the first command we see is spiritual stability comes by rejoicing in the Lord. We see this in verse 4 when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And this is what that means. When life threatens your joy, look to Christ and express your joy in him. Now notice what he says. The command is to rejoice in what? In the Lord. When are we to rejoice in the Lord? Always. The object of our rejoicing is the Lord, and notice the continual response. It's always. Notice what is not said. Our rejoicing is not based on our circumstances. Why? Because our circumstances are always changing. These people that Paul was writing to in the book of Philippians were suffering for Christ. He challenges them to have joy. How do I find joy in difficulty? How do I find joy in pain and in sorrow and in suffering? Well, he's saying focus on what God has done for you through Christ. You have been forgiven. You have been set free. You have been promised a hope and a home in heaven. Which leads them to ask this question. I need to have a right understanding of what joy is, don't I? I mean, we live in a time in which people talk about joy like there are no hard times in life. And it leads to confusion. They walk around like life is great and fun. And it should always be a party. And we become confused as to what joy is because we don't always feel like that, don't we? I mean, Paul himself said in 2 Corinthians 6:10, "I am sorrowful but always rejoicing." How is that possible? That challenges my idea of what I think joy is when Paul says he can be sorrowful but yet joyful at the same time. So it must mean something different than what I'm feeling. So what it doesn't mean is we walk around like there is a party and everything is cool, because that's not what true joy is. What true joy is, Paul is saying, when our focus is on a deep, abiding sense of what God has done through us through Christ and paying the penalty for our sin, our focus becomes on a promise of something better is coming. And that's where joy is found. So our joy is not found in our circumstances. It's actually found in Christ, in what he's done for us on the cross and what that means for our future. You see, too often we put our hope in the things of this world, whether that's power, position, money, even people. And let me just ask you, what happens when you're seeking that position at work and you don't get it? Or you get the position and then it's taken away? When that crumbles, what happens to you? You crumble. What happens when we put our hope in people and yet they lie about us or they turn their back on us? When they crumble, we crumble. We often lean on this world to provide us with a sense of security and a sense of happiness. For example, we all want to be financially secure, but what happens when the market fails? We all want to be healthy, but then we get a phone call and we have cancer. We find our comfort zone in relationships, and yet there is betrayal. Now, don't get me wrong. Can you find family, friends, finances, and health, find some kind of joy in those things? Absolutely, yes. But you will never find ultimate joy in those things, because as Paul tells us in the Word, those things are temporal. Those things are quickly passing away. So what Paul is doing for his audience is he's saying, here is where your focus needs to be. When we come to Christ, we all of a sudden realize that there is something promised to us in Christ, which is going to take care of all of our problems. It's going to take care of our decay, our condemnation in Christ. And that changes our perspective of everything. So the first command we're given is to rejoice in the Lord always. And that produces spiritual stability because it's in the one who never changes. The second command that we're given is spiritual stability comes by letting your gentleness be made known to all. And this is what he means here in this context. It means when life treats you harshly, remember that the Lord is near and that he's in control. And when God is the object of our joy and the object of our trust, it helps us in how we respond to difficulties. So if God is the object of my joy, I can rejoice always in him. He never changes. And likewise, if he is the object of my trust, when difficulties come, I respond well to them. You see, in life, we face conflicts, we face trials, we face difficult circumstances. If you were to look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, we see that the church in Philippi were going through some very difficult circumstances, some trials, some testing. And yet we even see friction in the church. The question is, how do you respond when difficulties come? How do you respond properly? Paul tells us how we are to respond, how we're supposed to respond. He says, you are to respond with gentleness. That word gentleness here means a restrained or a careful response. It means that you are able to respond to bad things without hatred or malice, trusting God in spite of it all. Now, how hard is that? You know, I've heard in life there are only two kinds of people. There are reactors and there are people who respond. Reactors are people who are processing information and they might not even have all the information, but they are reacting to what they're hearing or what they're seeing quickly. That's not always a good thing. People who respond are people that take in information, keeping an open mind that there might be another side to the story. There might be parts of what I'm seeing or hearing that aren't complete. And therefore, they take what they've heard or seen and they process it and they do some research and then they come back to the situation so that they know they have the whole picture and therefore can respond rightly. That's called proper response. And we are to be careful in how we respond. Especially in persecution or especially in difficulty. Always trusting God in spite of it all. Why? Because we know he's in control. And I love verse 5 because it says, let your gentleness be made known to all. The Lord is at hand. Who is supposed to see this kind of response? It's noticeable by somebody. It's noticeable by everybody. Let it be made known to all. So how do you respond when things don't go your way? How do you respond under pressure or difficult times? Do you react? Do you get angry? Do you get upset? It's in those times, Paul says, remember. And he says, what are you to remember? The Lord is at hand. Now, it's debatable as to what this means here. Some believe that it refers to the closeness of the Lord, that it speaks to his presence with you, that the Lord is near. Others hold that the Lord is near, or the Lord is at hand, mean his second coming. We are to live in light of that, that it may be at any moment. Now, people ask me, well, what do you think it is? And my answer would be yes, because they're both true. Is the Lord near? He never leaves you nor forsakes you. His presence is always with you. So that is true. Is this coming again at any moment? Absolutely. So I believe it's both. It can carry both of those truths. And therefore, when we remind ourselves of those truths, it provides us with a sense of comfort. Spiritual stability comes, number one, by rejoicing in the big picture of what Christ has done, and number two, by responding rightly in difficult situations by trusting God. Gentleness, having a right response because God is the object of our trust. He is the object of our joy. He is the object of our trust. And the third command that Paul gives us is spiritual stability comes by letting your requests be made known to God. In verse 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this means when life gives you anxieties, present them to God and He will provide you with peace. In this context, to be anxious means that there is a concern for something that has gone overboard. Now, the scripture never says you can't be concerned about something, but there is a type of concern that breeds worry and fear. And when we live lives of anxiety and worry and fear, it reveals a lack of trust in God's wisdom, His power, and His sovereignty. So instead of worrying, how are we to respond? We are to present them to God. I've heard people put this passage this way: worry about nothing, pray about everything. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. We worry about a lot of stuff, don't we? Finances, health, other people. Some of us are always thinking about, oh, what could go wrong in a certain situation? And those things press us down. They weigh us down. What are we to do with those thoughts? What do we do with those anxieties and fears? We are to take it to the Lord. Do you ever wonder why He asks us to pray about those things? You're probably thinking, well, doesn't He already know my needs? Doesn't He already know my fears? Doesn't He already know my anxieties? And the answer is yes, He does know everything. But did you ever consider that God wants us to come to Him and pray to Him so that we can acknowledge our dependence on Him? So that He can address something that we cannot. It's actually a humility. It's a dependence thing. Lord, I recognize there's nothing I can do. I'm trusting You. I'm looking to You to do something I cannot. And when we do that, when we take our burdens and our cares to Him, I love what this passage says. When we make a request made known to Him, as a result, we are given peace. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. So when we do what He asks us to do, as a result, He provides peace. That peace, there is an inner tranquility or calmness because of our confidence is in God. It's this idea that He provides a perimeter of peace. When worry and fear attack, we pray and trust the Lord and He builds us a perimeter of protection. And that is peace. You know what I love? What is that perimeter based on and founded in? The end of the verse, Christ Jesus. In Christ, we have had and we will have everything we need. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, the very help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So Jesus Christ is our peace. He is our joy. He is everything we need. He is our anchor. Therefore, we rest in Him. So why are these truths important? Because we live in a world full of pain. We live in a world full of unknown, and we live in a world full of change. So trust, have confidence, and rest in the One who never changes, which is God. Thank you and have a blessed day.